start that. You can turn to John chapter 6. Well, that's where I will begin reading from, I think. But let us remember that Paul the Apostle said, "O wretched man that I am."
Yes, sir.
And that next word is vital. Who? Who? In our day and age, everybody, not everybody, but most everybody, and this is by our Lord's own testimony, the greatest majority of people are looking to things for salvation. They're looking to church membership. They're looking to prayer. You know, they even look to faith as a savior, and that's damning.
Yeah.
Faith is not a savior. Faith is a gift of God by which God joins us to our salvation, that is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, true deliverance. When I say deliverance, I'm talking about salvation. True deliverance, true salvation. I'll state it another way, spiritual faith. I heard this morning on the way up here from the house, I heard a guy talking about a preacher, and he was preaching on how people need to put their faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and that sounds, that may sound okay. It kind of sounds scriptural, right? Faith in Jesus. But there's two problems with that. One of them is the word put. And the other one is your.
Yeah.
Faith in Jesus is a good thing.
Yes, sir.
But if you have put your faith in Jesus, you have nothing.
Exactly.
Because it must be a spiritual faith. Now, the natural man has faith. But he has natural faith.
Exactly.
He doesn't have spiritual faith. You know, Joe mentioned it. We can believe that the sun will rise tomorrow. That's faith.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We go out and it's almost that time when we begin to plant seeds in a garden. And Mason, we have faith that the process will work as it's always worked, and that plant's going to germinate and it's going to grow, right?
Yep.
That's faith.
Yep.
That's faith. But that's not the faith that accompanies salvation.
Exactly.
This is what most people are doing. They're taking their faith by which they believe crops will grow, and they're putting that faith in Jesus, and they have nothing.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, well, I shouldn't say it that way. They have something. They have what our Lord said. If that light be in you, that light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Yes, sir.
Now, just a brief lesson on faith. Because I've been talking about believing Christ, coming to Christ, trusting Christ. And if you don't trust Christ, I don't care what you trust, I don't care what you believe in, you don't have salvation. You're not converted. I'm not trying to prove who the elect are. I'm talking about who's converted and who's not. A person who doesn't believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, is not converted. I don't care how much doctrine they know. I don't care if they agree to it. If they fight for it and stand for it, to miss Christ is to miss salvation. And it's just that simple. But spiritual faith, what is faith? Well, Joe mentioned it. Faith is a gift of God.
Yes, sir.
Right? Now, this is true. And we must stand there upon this fundamental truth that faith is not something I come up with on my own.
Exactly.
Neither is faith something I have naturally that I then transfer to the person of Christ. Okay? Faith is the gift of God, and not everyone has it.
Amen.
Right?
That's it.
The Apostle Paul in what is it, 1st or 2nd Thessalonians, one of them. I'm thinking 2nd Thessalonians, but I may be wrong. But it's in one or the other that Paul told the Thessalonian believers, "You pray for us."
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men.
Yes.
Because all men have not faith.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't quite sound right in English, but what he's actually saying, not everyone has faith. That's what he's saying. Not everyone has faith. Yes, faith is the gift of God. But there's details even there are even more details than just that. Faith is said to be, that is this spiritual faith, this faith that is distinguished from human faith.
Yes.
It's a faith that James calls living faith.
Yes, that's right.
Right? Because James puts it, he doesn't go into theological details. He's simply stating the fact. He said, faith without works is dead. He didn't say faith don't exist.
No.
There is a faith that exists without works. And it's a what? It's a dead faith. Why? Because it's human faith. It's in, why is it dead faith?
Yeah.
It's in dead people.
That's right.
That's why it's called a dead faith.
Yes, sir.
Faith without works is dead. You see, spiritual faith has spiritual results.
Yeah.
If a man believes God, he's going to what? Serve God. Obey God. Respond to God. Will they fall? Everybody, I'm not perfect. That's, you know, and we say, I say, I'm not perfect. That person's not perfect. That ought to be a gimme.
Yeah.
That's like saying water's wet.
Yes, sir.
You know? It's like saying God's sovereign. But the fact is, we're so daggone ignorant, we have to have it said that way.
You're right.
Don't we? We have to be reminded that we're not perfect, because we oftentimes think we are.
That's it.
No, James says faith without works is dead. There is a faith that is a living faith. It's a spiritual faith. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God to certain individual people that God gives at certain times. His own time.
Yeah.
David, it's the time of his own choosing. He doesn't set a specific time for it to be given, simply that it will be given. But the Scripture gives us more detail than that. This spiritual faith, apart from which there is no salvation, okay? There is no deliverance, and I'm going to qualify it, there is no conversion. This spiritual faith is said to be a fruit of the Spirit, right?
Yes, sir.
Galatians 5, I don't remember exactly which verse, but it's Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and it names one, what's it called? Faith.
Yes, sir.
Right? Faith. Most people think, a lot of them teach it, but even some people who don't teach it, think it. They've never thought it out, I guess. At best, they've never thought it out. Most people don't even want to spend time thinking it out. It takes too much time. I've got other things to do, you know, rather than think about God's Word. You know, that takes up valuable time. You know, most people think this. You believe, then you get the Spirit of God, then you're sealed with the Spirit of God. Right? That's even almost, you could almost hear it even in Calvinistic circles.
Yeah.
What I mean by that, you can even gather that, or you think that's what they're saying, even amongst people that claim to preach free reigning grace. But if faith is the fruit of the Spirit, if I have it, the Spirit had to be with me already.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
It doesn't say faith is merely what the Spirit gives us. It's a fruit of Him.
Yes. That's it.
It's a fruit of God.
That's right.
Right? Faith is a characteristic of God.
Right.
This faith we're talking about. This faith that delivers. This faith that joins us to salvation, this faith that Hebrews 6 says accompanies. It don't use faith, but there are things that accompany salvation.
Yes, sir.
One of them is faith. Another one's repentance, all these things. We're talking about faith now. If faith is the fruit of the Spirit, then the Spirit has to be there first. Yes, it says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise after we believe. But it doesn't say we're given the Spirit after we believe. You got to have the Spirit first before you can believe.
Amen.
And this is what people don't want to teach.
Exactly.
Because if you teach that, you've just taken it all out of man's hands.
Exactly.
That's why they always say if you believe, you'll get the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Well, if you've believed apart from Him, your believing is vain and null. I don't care how much. The devils believe and tremble. But why is that not to their value? Because there is no God in it.
That's right.
There is no spirituality in it. Mm-hmm. No, faith is the fruit of God Almighty Himself. And you know what? If I, this morning, don't have that kind of faith, I don't have it. I don't care how much I've preached truth to you. We can turn back to an Old Testament book. I think it's Numbers. I may be wrong. But we can turn back to an Old Testament book, and we could read a sermon, and you could say that sermon would be preached or can be preached by some of the most strong grace men I know of. And you know who actually preached that message? An apostate. A man called Balaam.
Yes, sir.
A man that both Peter and Jude condemn.
Yep, that's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And he preached one of the most strong grace sermons that's ever been recorded for mankind.
Right.
And recorded in God's Word.
Yes, sir.
And it's boiled down to this. Well, this is grace, folks. How can I curse what God has blessed?
Amen.
Huh?
That's it.
Now, did he cause some temporary frustration to the children of Israel? Yes, he did. But he could not, David, cause overall frustration to the purpose of God for those people.
Exactly.
Old Balaam even told Balak, he said, I cannot curse what God has blessed.
Amen.
That kind of sounds like antinomianism, don't it? Huh? So be it.
Yeah.
So be it. You see, salvation is not based upon what you know.
Exactly.
It's based upon who you know. Okay? Now, even more pointed, it's based upon who knows you. But nevertheless, there is that if he knows you, you will come to know him. Just as it says, if he loved us, we'll come to love him. Because it says, not that we love God, but that he loved us.
Yes.
He loved us. No, faith is a faith. This faith, this believing in Christ, is a spiritual, real confrontation by the person of Jesus Christ to the elect sinner. Well, somebody says that phrase is not in Scripture. I don't care. It's still the truth is still taught there.
Yes, sir.
There are people who are chosen by God, and they are sinners. Why is it people hate that, elect sinners? They talk about God loving sinners, right? They even say God hates your sin, but he loves you as a sinner, right?
Oh, yeah.
But they don't want to hear about God Almighty electing sinners.
Yeah.
Why? Because it gives God all the credit.
Exactly.
Most people's explanation of grace is nothing more than a fluffy cat cloud.
Yeah.
Most people's explanation of grace is nothing more than marshmallow.
Yeah.
You know? It's words that have no meaning. The scriptural definition of grace is this: God Almighty saves sinners apart from themselves.
Amen.
I was found of them. What does Scripture put it?
Yep.
That sought me not.
Amen.
Well, that don't happen. Amen. Well, bless God, it certainly does, because that's what the book says.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, you got to seek for Jesus. Jesus ain't lost.
That's right.
He don't need to be found.
Yeah.
He seeks us. He finds us.
Exactly.
Somebody says, I don't like that. That's tough. Doesn't matter. Faith is a gift of God, and faith is the fruit of the Spirit, and faith is single-sided.
Yes, sir.
Faith doesn't trust works.
Yeah.
Faith does not trust being a member of the church.
Yeah.
Faith does not trust in prayer. Faith does not trust in Scripture reading. Faith does not even trust in itself. You ask some people, well, why do you know you're saved? How do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Well, I got faith. Sad.
Yeah.
Well, that's the answer most people think guarantees them entrance into glory.
Oh, yeah.
And the only way I will ever enter into glory accepted of God is if Jesus Christ died for my sins.
Amen.
That's the only way I'll ever enter into glory.
Exactly.
My sins must be dealt with first and foremost. Even spiritual faith isn't of no value apart from that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
God doesn't use spiritual faith to cancel out the debt of sin and let us into glory. God used the person of Jesus Christ to suffer for sin on the tree.
Yes.
Sin was paid for on the tree. And that's the only reason why anyone will enter into glory accepted of God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the Savior.
That's right.
Oh, wretched man that I am, I'm glad I got faith. It's not what he said, is it? Now, I'm sure Paul was glad he had faith. And you and I had best be glad we got faith if we have it.
Yes, sir.
But the answer to the question, O wretched man that I am, where is deliverance? It's in a who.
That's right.
It's in a person. I thought here a few days ago, maybe I'll just move on. And I thought, how do you move on from Jesus Christ?
Exactly.
Now maybe I can move on to another passage. But everyone I begin to move on, ultimately, they all declare unto me Jesus Christ.
That's it.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is paramount to the saved, to the converted. He's paramount. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ not should be all. That's what people are teaching. When they say you ought to make Jesus Christ Lord, you know, the whole fallacy with that was he is Lord. You can't make him anything. Jesus Christ cannot be made Lord. He is Lord.
Amen.
Scripture says God, that is talking about the Father, hath made him to be both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
See, the problem is we can't make Jesus Christ anything.
Exactly.
You can't make him your personal Savior. He either already is or he is not. You see, this is the fallacy. Men think that by something they do, they can make the work of Christ Jesus effective.
Yeah.
That's saying that it takes the creature to make the Creator's work of value. And that's nonsense.
Exactly.
Nonsense. Jesus Christ is paramount to the saved. And let me say this, and this is where I want to begin. This is in John 6. Christ is where we begin.
Yes.
I'm talking about in our conversion. Christ is where we begin. Christ consumes our present lives. And it does so because God Almighty ordained it that way.
Yes.
Now let me go to the last point first. Why is all this true? As we begin with Christ and Christ consumes our present lives. Why is that true? Because God Almighty ordained it that way. And I thought about this. You could go back and you go back to, I think it was in the book of Naomi, isn't it? What is the book that has Naomi? Is it Ruth? Is it Ruth? No, not that. Nope, wrong one. We're in the wrong book. Talk about Mordecai's. Kill that thing. Mordecai's
Esther.
That's what we're looking for. And I remember Henry Mahan asking this question. And it's implicated. It's implicated in the book of Esther. Why should Mordecai ride the king's horse? Remember the white horse? The white horse that was a symbol of honor? The white horse that Haman thought was being brought out for him? Huh? You know, it's just like man, ain't it?
Exactly.
We try to steal Christ's glory, don't we?
Yes, sir.
We think, David, the white horse is for us.
Yeah.
The king says, bring out the white horse. I'm going to honor somebody. They did something honorable. Mm-hmm. They deserve the accolade. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what happened.
Yeah.
This man, in the book of Esther, it's Mordecai. This man's done something honorable. He deserves the accolade. Bring the horse out for him. You know what the human race called Haman says? That must be for me.
Yeah.
The king's doing that for me. I deserve the honor. But guess who sits on the horse? Mordecai does.
That's right.
The despised Jew. Mm-hmm. Does that ring a bell?
Yes, sir.
Huh? the despised Jew is set up as preeminent in the king's court, and Mordecai rides the king's horse because the king said so.
Amen.
And if you don't like it, you can be just like Haman. You will end up hanging on the very gallows you hoped that Mordecai would hang on. The very gallows that fallen, depraved, unbelieving men would hang Jesus Christ on in shame is the gallows they'll die by.
That's right.
Why? Because God said so.
That's right. Amen.
That's why Mordecai rode that horse. Mm-hmm. And in Colossians chapter 1, here's what it says. Why is Christ preeminent? Why? What is the answer? Because it pleased the Father. See,
amen.
You know,
yeah.
You remember when you're, or some of them maybe still happens. My children did it. Now, remember, I am a fallen parent, so I'm not a prime example. Okay? But you remember when you tell your children to do something, and they say, well, why? You know what the best answer is, don't you? It's the best answer. It's a scriptural answer. I mean, it's scriptural all the way around. Because I said so.
Yeah.
And you'll learn not by me explaining that to you first, but you will learn by doing that and then reaping the benefits of that obedience, and you'll learn by it that way.
Yeah.
If I have to explain to you why before you even do it, you've missed it already.
Yeah.
You missed it already. And I love to use that. Because I'm that hard-headed. I'm not God, mind you, but still felt good. Well, why do I have to do that, Daddy? Because I said so. Huh? And you know what? God's got a way of making you do it, too.
Oh, yeah.
If he says so.
Yes, sir.
Ask Jonah.
Yeah.
Huh?
Exactly.
When you get to heaven, go to Jonah first and ask him, when God says so, does it happen? I bet you Jonah said, yeah.
Yeah.
It happens. If God says do it, you might as well go on and do it because you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
That's exactly
right? And Scripture tells us that. He said we're faulty parents and we corrected our children. Right?
Mm-hmm.
How much more do you think the perfect parent's going to correct his?
Exactly.
Right? No, Jesus Christ is paramount. He's preeminent. That's the KJV word. It's a good word. He's preeminent because it pleased the Father he be preeminent. Why must we come to Christ? Because that's what pleased God.
Amen.
You see, that's why. It pleases God. It honors God. It's to God's glory.
Yes, sir.
And remember, I told you, our Lord spoke of this indirectly and directly both. He said, if your eye's single, your whole body will be full of light. Now think about it. It is not what you know. Now, let me say, it is not what you know, it's who you know. But I've got to add to that, if you know the true who, eventually you're going to learn some whats.
Exactly.
Because you can't be around the true who for very long and not learn some whats.
That's exactly.
Okay? But you don't have to know the whats before you can know the who. You have to know the who first.
Amen.
Now that's kind of convoluted, but it's the truth.
That's
and an illustration of this is that blind man.
Yeah.
Remember the blind man that Christ healed? And I think he healed him on the Sabbath day, and there were some folks got upset.
Oh, yeah.
They seemed to always get upset about that.
Yeah.
Didn't they? Because he healed on the Sabbath day. And they said, you're a sinner. And the man that did this to you is a sinner. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they said about Jesus Christ? And you remember what that guy said? You remember what he said?
Yeah.
Whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. But I know this.
Yeah.
At one time I was blind. And I'm going to add it in here, but that's what I know he was thinking. It. Bless God, I see now.
Amen.
That's the point. Why? Because he met the who.
Exactly.
Right? Now, if he'd have met another guy, another Jesus from Mexico, it wouldn't have made a difference. But he met the Jesus, did he not?
Yes, sir.
It didn't matter how much he knew about him, Mason. When he met him and that Jesus was pleased to bless him, he's going to be blessed. He's blind. You're going to see because I said so.
That's right.
And he was enabled to see, even though he didn't know much of anything.
Yeah.
But you know what? Jesus didn't leave him there.
That's right.
Did he?
No.
Now, he didn't know whether he's a sinner. I don't know. But I know this, he touched me.
Yeah.
I was blind, he made me see. Now let me tell you, that's more faith than most folks have.
Exactly.
A lot of people got a lot of faith, but not that kind of faith. You remember I told you, and Joe's mentioned this, but I think that all of us can kind of sum it up that way, that maybe we didn't think of it all along this line, but you know, if God does for you what he did for me, you're going to come around.
Yes, sir.
You know? If God brings you down like he brought me down, you'll be down. You'll be down. If God lifts you up, whatever it is, if God lifts you up like he lifted me up, you'll be lifted up. That may have been all we knew. But we knew this because we'd met the Master. He'd done something for us and it was done. But you know what our Lord did, don't you? He came back to that man. Didn't he? Remember that? He came back to him and said, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Do you know? Well, and you know what he asked you? Well, let me get it right. He said, do you know, actually, he asked, do you know who the Son of God is? He's asking this Jewish man, do you know who the Messiah is?
That's right.
And you know what our Lord told him? He finally told him straight out, it's me that's talking to you.
That's right.
I am the one. And you know what? He didn't tell that to everybody.
No, he did not.
As a matter of fact, he told some people that he told that to, don't you tell anybody else.
That's right.
Huh? Yeah. Now, I know most people think Jesus Christ came here to try to prove he was the Messiah. Well, he did. You know? But that's not what he did while he was here.
Exactly.
Okay? No, he went back and told that guy, it is he that speaks to you. I'm him.
Amen.
You see, salvation has to do with a direct confrontation between the dead alien sinner whom God Almighty gives life and then the living, risen Lord.
Amen.
They come together through a confrontation. Paul puts it this way, it's like being arrested. Right?
Yes, sir.
He said, I was apprehended.
Yes.
Laid hold. I was arrested by Jesus Christ. That's my question to me and to everyone here this morning. Have you been arrested by Jesus Christ?
Exactly.
If you haven't, you're not converted.
That's it.
That's not to be mean. That's not to say, okay, well, thank God you finally heard Walter preach. Simply trying to be honest with your soul.
Yeah, exactly.
If Jesus Christ has not, and let me tell you, when he arrests you, he don't do it from behind and you don't know it.
Exactly.
He don't come up and just whack you on the head and you wake up arrested.
Yeah.
He'll let you know who did it.
Oh yeah.
Right? He did that to the woman at the well. She didn't know at first.
Yeah.
Not at first.
But
eventually she did, right?
Yeah.
See, that's why. Why is it that we begin with Christ? Because God said so.
Amen.
God said so. Look at it. I told you, John chapter 6. That was the introduction. And it's 5 minutes till. I got 5 minutes for the body of the message. I didn't even know the time was that. It's 5 minutes till. John 6 verse 37. I know a lot of people just assume that will not be there.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to hear this. I probably even said it. Here we see God's sovereignty and man's responsibility right together in the same verse. You know what I got to say about that now? Hogwash.
That's right.
Hogwash.
Yep.
All that the Father giveth me, what does it say?
Shall.
Amen.
So that just shuts it down right there.
Exactly.
And again, let me just say, man is not a responsible creature.
No.
He is an irresponsible creature.
Exactly.
But man is an accountable creature.
Yes.
That's a difference.
Yes.
Now I know you can look in Webster's dictionary and you look under responsible, it'll give you accountable. And you can look under accountable and it'll give you the word responsible, but they have to be used in a certain way.
Yeah.
And in certain ways they're used, they are not synonyms. They are different.
Yes, sir.
Because a person cannot be irreaccountable.
Yeah.
But they can be irresponsible. And that's what man is. He is not responsible in that respect. He is irresponsible.
That's it.
But bless God, he is accountable.
That's it.
He will answer to God and he will not pay for, But, you know, people say, you'll pay for your sins in hell. No, you won't. You can't. Men and women will suffer for their sins in hell.
Exactly.
They won't pay for them. If you could pay for them, he'd let you go.
That's right.
And there ain't no purgatory.
Yeah.
It's called the lake of fire.
Exactly.
Where the beast and the false prophet who were cast in still are after 1,000 years.
That's right.
Where they will, the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. And that's where men are going. No, Christ Jesus is where we begin. Why? All that the Father giveth me shall come. Now, shall we like that part, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know? We like that. That's election right there. That's sovereignty right there, right? But what else does it say? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Amen.
You see, if you're given to me, you'll come to me.
That's right.
If all you've come to is election, then all you were given to was election. That don't cut it, does it?
Exactly.
If all you were given to is eternal security, if that's what you've come, well, I believe in eternal security. So do most free will Baptists.
Yeah.
Well, no, maybe not. Well, yeah, they do. The ones that don't put it on their doors.
Yeah.
The ones who put it on their door. Wait a minute, that's confusing. The ones who put it on their church buildings, their doors, they don't believe in eternal security, but the ones who believe in eternal security believe in free will, but they don't call themselves free will Baptists.
Exactly.
Something's confusing here, ain't it? I didn't even mean to go there.
Yeah.
That was more confusing than I thought.
Exactly.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Amen.
And here it is. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, I believe what you all believe. I don't know whether that's good or not. You see, that's the whole problem. I don't. My first thought is good.
Yeah.
I'm glad. But if the light that's in you is darkness,
exactly.
How great is that dark? If you think that's your hope because you believe like I do,
yeah.
The doctrines, you know. Somebody said, well, you can't believe in election and not believe in Christ. The devils do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Jews did. Didn't they?
Yeah.
The Jews, they believed in election wholeheartedly.
Yes, sir.
These Gentiles ain't it. We're it. God chose us. Exactly. We're Abraham's seed, right?
Oh, yeah.
But they rejected Christ.
Yes, sir.
The point is of what Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, what does it really matter? Well, first of all, the actual coming is vital because you can't be any other way.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, well, I just hope that eventually I'll get there. No, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Look at it. What is it? Verse 40. It goes on. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth thee, what's that say? Son. See that? You see, if you miss the Son, you've missed everything.
Exactly.
This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The truth is, I believed in election, total depravity, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. Before I ever knew Jesus Christ personally. And while part of me thinks, well, when I come to know that fifth one, that's when I met Christ, but that wasn't it either.
Exactly.
I begin to see that fifth truth or fifth doctrine, Mason, as truth in the Scripture. But as I begin to see that truth, I begin to see Christ is everything to me.
Exactly.
It's not faith. It's not repentance. It's not prayer. It's not believing. It's not Bible reading. It's not studying to show myself approved. None of these things can justify me in God's sight. At worst, because of my sinfulness, these things can condemn me. You know that? They can condemn me. Christ told those people, I mentioned it last Sunday, but he told, search the Scriptures. You go ahead. But you know what he also told them? He said, those same scriptures you read,
yeah,
they're going to be what's going to judge you in the end.
Exactly.
Is that what he told them?
Yes,
Yeah, you go ahead and search them. They are they which in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of what?
Me.
But he said, you go ahead and read them. But the more you read them, the more damned you'll be if you miss him.
Exactly.
Him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Verse 45, briefly, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man. So does that mean most of them? 99.99999, whatever it is, percent. Does that mean that many? No, every man. Therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto what? Me.
Amen.
Me.
Here's
the question, and I can't answer it for you. I have difficult enough time answering it for myself. And it's not because of him. I believe him.
Yes, sir.
But I sometimes seriously doubt me.
Exactly.
But here's the question. And I'm going to ask it myself, and each one of us has to ask ourselves that question. Do I know Christ?
Amen.
I'm not asking you if you believe in election. See, it's not the point, you know. That one man didn't even know if Christ was a sinner or not.
Yeah.
And this was the impeccable God Almighty. God incarnate in the flesh, Mason, right?
Yes,
but see, God doesn't bless people based on what they know. He blesses them based upon his sovereign free grace.
Yes.
And then once he gives them sovereign free grace, they know something's happened. And they want to find out more about who it was that did this.
Yeah.
Right? You know what Paul said? You remember what he said? Oh, that I might know him.
Amen.
Right? That's it. Now, if you have reason to believe, if the Spirit of God can bear witness with your spirit, so that you can relate to that, oh, that I might know him.
Yes.
God will give you peace. That'll give you peace.
Yeah.
It will. And just, Ellen, just seeking to know, oh, that I might know him. Even if the more you know about him, the more you find out you don't know. But that's not the point, that I might know him. Some people say, well, I got the 5 points.
Yeah.
It's good enough. Oh, that I might know him. You know, I'll try to give you just an analogy. You get to know, we call people our friends. And I've done it. I know that. I'm not trying, I don't mean to be hypercritical, but we call people our friends. And we really don't consider what the word friend means.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there are very few friends in this world, folks. I mean friends. You know, yeah, lucky. I mean, you're lucky if you can fill up one hand with them, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There are very few friends in this world. But if you know one, if there's somebody you say, that's my friend. See, the point is, it's not just there's a casual acquaintance. They're a part of life. I work with them every day. No, this is a friend. It's somebody you want to get to know. You know, it's like someone trying to get to know someone they wish to be with for the rest of their life. I've got to know this person.
Yeah.
That's what it's like, you know, if you're truly converted. You don't do that to get converted. God converts you, and that's the way you are.
Yeah.
See, the problem is, if you're not that way, there's nothing you can do to get that way.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to warn you that if you're not, maybe God just might set off a light in your mind, a spiritual light in your mind, and you'll say, I'm not where I thought I was. Because the fact is, sadly, there's a lot of people that are not where they think they are. There are some people who are where they think they are, but they didn't get there when they thought they were there.
Exactly.
That was me. I thought I was there years ago. But, I thought I was there, 45. 43, 44 years ago. I thought I was there, Mason. I found out later I wasn't really there. Wasn't there at all. And here's why does it matter? Scripture says that we are to be able, if somebody asks us for the reason of the hope that lies within you, we are to be able to give them an answer for that.
Yes, sir.
So I best make sure we know what we're talking about.
That's it.
See, that's why it's important, right?
Yeah.
If I tell somebody, well, I went forward and I prayed, and I believed in Jesus. Joe, I believed he really existed when I was 5 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they baptized me, they put me in the water, and I went out and I witnessed for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
At 5 years old. You couldn't, from that time on, Mason, you could not convince me that Jesus Christ did not exist.
Mm-hmm.
It just couldn't be done. But you know what? I never met him.
That's it.
He was just another name in the crowd.
Yeah.
A little special than most of them, but that's all he was. I had given my heart to him, but he had never personally manifested himself to me.
That's it.
Right? You know, and like Scott Richardson said, people give your heart to Jesus, and that's what he said. Why does Jesus want your filthy, rotten, black heart?
Exactly.
I can remember him.
Yes, sir.
He's tough.
Yeah.
He's tough. He said, you want to talk about depravity? It's how depraved I am. He said, if I could really do what I wanted to, he said, I'd climb up to heaven on a ladder. And he said, I'd get on my belly and I'd sneak up behind God and I'd jump up and I'd stab him in the back. And I can just see people. He is really bad. Charles Manson, come again.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we all are.
That's it.
Our daddy tried to kill God in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to, our brothers and sisters tried to take over God's throne at Babel.
Yep.
Didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
And every time we open our mouths, we lie on our God.
Exactly.
Don't we? We lie on our God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He is merciful. I'm going to give you this and I will stop. I've told you this. I remember years ago, I began to doubt as to whether I really knew God or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what all those people around me back then told me? That's the devil.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. That's the devil. You need to read Oliver B. Green. He's got some good books on security, you know.
Yeah.
Peace and safety. I read them all. Thank God it didn't help a lick. You know that? It didn't help a lick. It wasn't the devil trying to make me doubt my salvation. It was God Almighty showing me that the salvation I had wasn't worth spit.
Exactly.
I didn't know the Christ of God. And he was still merciful enough, Mason, to show him to me, to reveal him to me. Or I should say, he revealed himself to me. Isn't that amazing? I was praying, oh God, let this go away.
Yeah.
Let this pass. Give me assurance. He did. The hard way.
Exactly.
By showing me I didn't have any.
Exactly.
Father, I pray that you comfort us in thy truth. Draw us closer to you. Lord, give us that comfort and that peace that comes with understanding. But Lord, may it all be by thy free and reigning grace. May it not be that which we have worked up within ourselves. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.